Welcome to session two of the audio version of the PDH online course on electrical engineering ethics cases. Case five, employer accepts contract to build heavy machinery without break. Well, the situation was like this. The machine in question is a tube former. It takes a coil of steel at one end, then rolls it into a tube. It bends the tube into a programmed shape like a badly distorted circle. The final step is to deposit the form on a pallet to be wrapped and shipped when the pallet's full. The employer makes big and small tube formers. The one in question was medium-sized, intended to create pieces to be door opening guards for General Motors Auto. For unknown reasons, I was invited to the design kickoff meeting. The question, as the design basis was being reviewed, I asked, are we providing a mechanical brake to stop the machine when the e-stop is pulled? I had done hookup diagrams for many such machines, and they all had mechanical brakes, except this one. The salesman asked the buyer, do you want a mechanical brake? The buyer thought for a moment and said, sure. Afterwards, the salesman was very unhappy with me. He felt compelled to follow through on the budgetary pricing he had provided, and he hadn't included a break. Now, the alternatives do not mention safety considerations when the design basis is being formed. That's one way we could handle it. Insist on a meeting before the meeting to become acquainted with the official line. C. Start with the assumption that the salesman knows a lot more than the engineer about the product and the buyer's needs. Continue to use best judgment and speak at critical times. Well, the discussion might be as this. Choice A is well represented by the German public's acceptance of Nazi atrocities preceding and during World War II. See daviddick.com forum show thread 662474. It speaks well of one's loyalty to his employer, but poorly of his compliance to the National Society of Professional Engineers Code of Ethics. Choice B was not feasible. The salesman did not spend time with designers. If the salesman took responsibility for the problem, he might have modified this pattern. Choice C is compatible with the common arrogance of engineers, reference Dilbert in the comic strip. This approach, again, demonstrates loyalty to the employer. Actually, loyalty to the employer is extolled by the NSPE Code of Ethics and even more so by some state amendments. Choice D represents a recognized shortcoming of your writer. I feel it is moral and ethical, and I am willing to accept the consequences. Digression. A friend who proofread parts of this paper offered the following personal definition of ethics. Do what you know is the right thing, unless the rewards for violation are great, and you are willing to accept the consequences if caught. This is from J.P. Mullen, Traveling Minstrel and Raconteur. I think that even the worst violators would agree, reference Enron, Arthur Andersen, Merrill Lynch, WorldCom, and the congressional response in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002. Except maybe the people who got caught disagree on the actual consequences. The activity selected, well, this case is reported in the past tense. I asked the question, and the tube former was built with the brake. Success, I didn't hear about anyone being hurt by this particular machine. But I didn't hear about any of the other machines built during my tenure with this employer. I did hear that the employer had been bankrupt and reformed three times due to operator injuries and lawsuits. Well, we can learn from this. I learned that this was another place I really didn't want to work. One of the consequences now that is when I apply for a job, I have to explain the short duration of several of my jobs. The new employer doesn't want to hear about ethical differences. I have stories about driving distances. Do we believe that employee and customer health and safety are primary concerns of American business? The news media constantly reports lapses, but statistically, are survival rates more important than injury and death rates? Don't we all love OSHA inspectors? Let's go on to case six now. A large consulting firm designs a wastewater plant without hazardous buffer spaces. Well, it goes like this. NFPA 820 includes a graphic, A.5.2, similar to a graph included in the written version. It defines clearances required around open tanks of flammable substances. And above the tank, it's a foot and a half. And beyond the tank, it's 10 feet. And my recollection is this is 18 inches. Well, that is a foot and a half, 12 and 6 or 18, above grade. And this is all Division II. Okay. Now, this is an open tank of not known flammable substances, but possibly flammable substances. There's no Division I flammables normally present, but there's considerable Division II flammables present under unusual conditions. Note the 10-foot extension of the Division II area, 18 inches above grade. This is beyond the tank, just 18 inches out above the ground for 10 feet. That's considered a potentially hazardous area, Division II area. A well-respected major consulting engineering firm did a substantial upgrade design construction job on the plant in question. They built a 15 kV electrical room adjacent to the